Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, and Confessions of Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian. Not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Now, how are you tonight, Nicole?
I'm okay, Cindy. How are you?
Everything is good. What's on your Christmas list?
You know what? That's a loaded question. It's a very loaded question because my wife has been asking me what's on my Christmas list for weeks now, and I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. I explained to my wife that I really don't want anything. You know, like, I have everything that I want. So, like, I don't know. I have no idea. I got a couple, like, small things on my list, and that's about it.
It's funny. Is our music still playing for some odd reason? Do you hear it?
What the heck is going on?
That
I just
was
hit
very
it off
odd.
Again for the third time now.
But isn't that odd?
Very.
Very odd.
Very. But odd,
you know,
things have been happening
odd
to me all week, though, so I don't know.
That's what I think. But also, I agree with you. I told TJ, please, I don't need anything. Please, I don't want anything.
Yeah, like, I just...
too many things. I've got too much stuff. I don't want it, you know? I mean,
yeah, no,
you know,
exactly.
And I'm not just saying that to say it, but I really.
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, there's a couple of things that I can use for, like, you know, my photography and things like that. But, like, literally, it's like two things, you know. And I feel badly because, well, first of all, my birthday is tomorrow, and Christmas is in a couple
Happy
of weeks.
Birthday.
And my wife has been, thank you. And my wife has been asking me for my birthday list and my Christmas list, and I gave her maybe two things to buy, like, a day and a half ago. So she's on her own. I don't know what she's going to do.
Oh, my goodness. I know. It's just how I feel, you know. And
yeah.
So, you know, so let's give gifts of the heart then, okay? You know, maybe
that's
help somebody with something they need help with or whatever, because sometimes that's even more important. And, again, every day is Amazon Christmas now. Everybody buys everything they need all year round.
Exactly.
So you don't know what to buy
exactly.
anybody. They don't wait. You know, they need something. They
yep.
got it. They
everything
buy
is
it.
Instant satisfaction. Everything is instant everything, you know. And it's just like nobody, that, you know, that's kind of what I say, too, is that, you know, whenever I really want something because I don't ask for a lot, Lisa's like, babe, just buy it. Babe, just get it. So I do, you know, and I do that throughout the year. But unfortunately, then it becomes gift-giving season, and I've been told that I'm a very, very difficult person. And I always thought that because I appreciate everything that I'm not difficult, but apparently I am because I'm even a pain in the ass to myself right now.
I know.
You know,
and
like,
people
and I went in, like, and I actually, I have Amazon lists of things that I want and this and that and everything else. And I went through my list to see if there's anything I wanted for Christmas. So I'm like, oh, I don't want that anymore. I don't want that anymore. I don't want that anymore.
So you see,
and like,
if
I
you
literally
buy everything
took the list
immediately,
down to like nothing.
I know. And that's the whole thing, that we buy, you know, everything all along. And sometimes if you just wait, maybe you don't want it. You know,
that's what I do. I always, I set myself up with a list. If I see something that I want, I put it on my want list. I have a want list on Amazon. And I just throw it there, and then I go back to it once. I go back to it twice. If I still want it by the third time I go back to it, then I get it. But if I don't want it after the third time, then it was not meant to be, and I didn't want it, clearly. So I just saved that money.
Wow. You know, it's interesting that, you know, we're talking about this, because I think it becomes very stressful for people as well, because they don't know what to get people. You know what
oh,
I
yeah.
mean? They
don't. Yeah. My poor wife. She's stressing out so hardcore. My poor wife.
And you know, it's really, you know, sometimes it's hard. But that's like, you know, there are other, you know, gifts. Sometimes I'll tell people, you know, as a writer, you know, buy a book. We have books. Sometimes
yeah.
a book is a good gift. Do you know what I mean? Buy a
yep.
book. You know, something like that. Doesn't have to be a lot of them, but those are always a good gift.
Yep.
But, you know, try not to stress, overstress about it.
You know what? It's not worth it. Honestly, like if there's one thing that I think that me and Lisa have learned this year is that it's, you know, we were always quality over quantity people, but we really, really, you know, like the best gift that we can really give each other is literally each other's time. You know, you know what
right.
I'm saying? Because we're always so busy. I'm always doing something. She's always doing something. And I truly think that the best gift that we can give one another is each other's attention. You know, our undivided attention, quality time together. That's basically, you know, where we're at right now is that you know, you can have all the stuff in the world, but you know, tomorrow with my wife, you know, could be a fleeting thing. You know, so
exactly, and that's a little bit of, you know, that a little time for each other. And then sometimes, you know, things that are like, because people have a lot of things, maybe give
mm-hmm.
like a gift of a massage, or, you know, a lot of people give a lot of psychic readings as a gift. You know, it's a busy season for
yeah.
terms of gifts. But sometimes a gift that is even some of the consumable, bottle of wine, you know, something like that. Try to think, because people do have plenty of everything. So
oh,
if
yeah.
they do, like, they get their nails done, then give them a gift certificate to the nail salon they go to
exactly.
or something. You know,
exactly.
it takes a little thoughtfulness, or the hair salon they go to, you know, things like that, that, you know, or maybe they go to the gym, you know, you could pay
yep.
some of the gym membership, you know, things like that that are kind of helpful and good. So think outside the box. But I know, because
oh,
I'm only
sure.
bringing this up because a lot of my clients have been stressing out about what to buy people, and they're all pitching. I don't know what to do. They got everything. So I'm like,
no, and you know what? I mean, honestly, like some of the greatest things that you know that you can get to, and like what I always have fun with is the classes, the online classes. You know, like
right.
you can buy somebody a subscription to something like that. Or, you know, one of some of the reoccurring things, if you pay for it for like the year for somebody, you know, like if you know that they like, you know, a certain thing or whatever, and you can, you know, like involve them in like a club where they can constantly get it. Like my buddy loves bourbon, you know, so we, and his brother loves scotch, you know, and they're out in Utah. So hard liquor is very, very hard to come by because they're in the Bible Belt. So what they do for each other, you know, around the holidays is they get each other like a bourbon club. And, you know, or, you know, like a Scotch club subscription. So they get like, you're allowed to get in the mail in that area of Utah, you're allowed to get a certain number of ounces. So by subscribing to this club, you know, they're actually allowed to receive that particular alcohol in the mail because it's a smaller quantity. It's not the whole 750 milliliter bottle. It's more of like a sampling, you know, per se. And, you know, they love it. You know, they just like literally they pass scotch and bourbon back and forth, you know, for one another, not in detrimental quantities, but, you know, in just, you know, just to get the little taste where it's allowed, where they live. And, you know, they love it. And it opens up their eyes, and it gives them ideas to get something for themselves down the line.
That's exactly. And if someone likes Audible books, maybe you can offer to pay the year for Audible or their Kindle for a
yeah.
year. You know,
I mean, I have to
tell
you,
what are your subscriptions?
Oh yeah, you know what one of the best things that I ever did was I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called MasterClass, and
yes,
it's like famous. It's like famous people giving lectures on, you know, their main whatever it is they're famous for. So obviously I'm an artist. I'm into photography and things like that. Well, Andrew Chin happens to be a very, very awesome adventure photographer. And he did like a 14 lesson installment, you know, on just how to get the right shot and lighting and this and that and everything under the conditions that he works under. Annie Leibovitz, if anybody's ever heard of Annie Leibovitz, she did one on this platform. platform. If you're a singer, Christina Aguilera does one, you know, about singing and things like that. James Cameron does one about directing and filmmaking. So there's a lot of famous people on this platform literally just sharing their knowledge, you know. And one of my favorites, one of my favorite authors is David Sedaris, who's a humorist. And I've read everything that he's ever written, and he never fails. I could read the same story over and over again, and he never fails to make me laugh. And he even did one, you know, a 15-page lesson, you know, on writing and on storytelling. And, you know, Lisa's a drummer. We did the one from Sheila E., and literally she's taking you through how she comes up with her rhythms and everything. It was absolutely amazing. It was the best money I ever spent.
So these are good ideas. And Jean, our wonderful Jean, still said she asked for gift cards to food stores and to get my to get her med.
And you know what? Groceries are at an all-time high.
Right.
You know, if you don't know what to get somebody, groceries are at an all-time high. So you know what? Gift certificates to ShopRite or Stop and Shop, that will go a long way.
And you could also, you know, if people like a particular restaurant, if they go to Panera, if they go to a nice restaurant, maybe buy them a gift certificate to a restaurant they go to.
Yeah.
You know, things that like that. So I love that Jean said that practical. You know, people think, well, that's not a good gift. Well, yes, it is. Because, you know, if you have everything you need, but food's expensive and, you know, your meds are expensive, these things really do help. And take a little, what it does is going to take some stress off of Jean, that she doesn't have to worry about paying for that.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So,
and you know what? You know what? You never know what somebody else is going through either. Maybe, you know, maybe somebody's going through a financially rough time where that gift certificate, you know, to a food store might be the difference between them getting everything on their list or having to chop it down a little bit to accommodate their budget. You know, maybe maybe that gift certificate is, you know, is the are the extras that they already cut out of their list because they couldn't afford them. You know, so you never really know what other, what somebody else's circumstances. So that could be a very, very wonderful gift for the right person. But that's another thing, too. It's like all these gifts, they're not mixed and match gifts. They're the right gifts for the right person. So you got to think about who that person is and purchase accordingly.
Right, exactly. So I would say, you know, let's just go for more thoughtful gifts that, you know, that you took a little time till you knew this person, what might make them happy, what do they need, you know. Maybe they mentioned something earlier in the year of something, and, you know, pay attention to what they may have asked for, you know, and those are gifts of the heart. So let's go that, but not to stress out about it, because that's not what the season's about, you know. It's really not.
Yep.
And,
absolutely.
You know, maybe you could even, you know, pay a month of cable for someone, you know, because cable is very expensive nowadays, you know. Yeah. So these are things, like, we're going to all think about. Now, we have a lot of listeners tonight, and,
we do.
I told Jimmy, you know, Jimmy's first called in. I said, we might not be able to put him through because he has been put through in the last few weeks, and we have to be careful about not putting the same people through.
Yep.
Because, you know, we can get a hard time from Blog Talk Radio if people complain that they tried to get through and put them through. So we're going to try to get some people we haven't gotten yet. So we do have a couple of people that did, you know, if they want to talk to us, can you explain what they have to do?
Yes, ma'am. So if you would like to speak to Cindy or myself tonight, please press the number 1, and then I will get a lovely little alert that tells me would like your call picked up. As always, I never, ever screen the first caller, so we always kind of cross our fingers and hope for the best so that that person is our brand of crazy. And actually, Cindy, we do have somebody on the line whose number I do not know. The last 4 digits of their number are 6511, and we're going to pick them up, and we're going to see what they have to say and what their question is. So again, press the number 1, and I will pull you into the chat room and screen your calls. All right, so here we go for the first caller of the night, out to 6511, whoever that may be. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Oh, my God, I feel so bad now.
Okay, now we got to do it very quickly because this is Eric, and we don't want to get in trouble today, okay? So, Eric, she didn't recognize your number, and I didn't either, but okay, so we'll do it quickly because we do get in trouble, okay?
Yeah, that's
I'm too old to get in trouble, okay? You know, a mommy yell. So anyway, is there some new development in your life that you want to share with us?
Yeah, there's just two quick things I just wanted to ask about. So recently I've started doing a lot more guided meditations. And there was a day where I fell asleep. I fell asleep basically like asking my spirit guides, like, if there's anything that you guys want to message me about, like, feel free to do it at any time.
I like the way you say want to message me about. I love that, okay? Yep. If they want to message you about something, yep. And what happened?
So the next morning, I was obviously sleeping. I woke up to a deep toned voice calling my name, and like instead of like normal people just freaking out or like trying to figure out what it was, I immediately like heard it, woke up, and I acknowledged it. I remember telling myself, I remember saying it out loud, saying, "I acknowledge you called my name," and then I fell right back to sleep because I just didn't know what happened. But when I woke up, I was like, what the hell just happened?
Well, you see that you are becoming more psychic. You said, you know, message me, let me know. So they kind of let you know they heard what you asked. They said your name. And maybe they didn't have anything immediately to tell you, but it does show that you're opening up the vortex to the other side. Okay. And it's kind of... You know, and a good time to do it is, like you said, before you're trying to fall asleep because you're in that sort of, you know, in-between state. And, you know, now, during the day, did you get any kind of inkling what they might have been trying to tell you? Did you get a message somehow else from somewhere else?
Not really, no. I just got my name called and that's it. And I was pretty aware that day, though. I think it happened like 2 days ago. I was really aware. I was just trying to figure. I don't know. I just couldn't figure it out.
Okay. And basically, you were just being acknowledged that you were heard, that you're ready to hear spirit. Okay. And
yeah.
You know, it's great that when you get these little confirmations, these little like wow things. You know, for instance, you know, I'm writing a play, and it's part of it's about the civil rights movement, and there is a man who just died recently. He was a lawyer during the civil rights movement. And I read his obituary, and I was going to work on the play that day. And the book that I have is 579 pages big. And I pretty much know the book backwards and forward. And I wanted to look something up. And I opened the page, and it opened to the page about this man, what he had done during the civil rights movement. Now, what would the chance that in a 579-page book, I would open to that page? Like,
yeah.
And I wasn't looking him up, but I was like, oh, does that mean he's going to help me with this project? Because he's there. So these are things that spirit is like always giving us the little signs we have to pay attention. But it's also revealing something about you, Eric. You have clairaudio. In other words, you can hear spirit, actually hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody can actually hear.
Yeah, and after that, when I realized, I went back to your book, and I started, you know, reading through everything again, and I was like, I was just so interested and amazed. Because I've been waiting, you know, I've been waiting patiently for months and trying to work on all of this just to finally, you know, hear something or see something, and it was just so exciting at that moment. And I'm pretty sure I had another moment where it was very late. And I was just sitting down, and for some reason, you know, I just had the biggest urge to go over our reading that we had months ago, and like I had like a lot of anxiety, and the moment I played it, and it was like maybe 15 minutes in, it went away.
I couldn't figure out
why that happened.
Okay, again, because when we're doing a reading, you're in a very soulful mindset. Like, people don't realize something about me as psychics. Like, I'm in a zone when I'm doing a reading, okay? I get into it very quickly. But I also have to put you in that zone, okay? So when people come with an attitude, like, they don't believe this, blah, 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 I can't get them in a zone. So the reading's never going to be as good because I need them to be in the zone because your soul begins to speak to me, your spirit guides begin to speak to me as you're in a zone. So when you were listening to the reading, it puts you in a soulful, high vibration wavelengths. And that's why your anxiety went away. Because anxiety is from the ego and the mind, and you went into a deeper soul level. And that's why it helped.
Wow.
Because
I
actually hypnotize people almost in a way when I'm doing a reading. I get
their
full mind down.
Well, that's every, you know, those two times I came to you, I felt that. I realized, like, I just couldn't figure out why it was happening, but I was, you know, I was realizing that this was happening, and that's just so amazing. I can't believe it.
Well, that's why when your spirit guides, it wasn't you. Now, again, you heard spirit. It was called ghosting your mind. Your spirit guide said, you're having anxiety. Go listen to the reading. And they knew in you listening to it that you would go into a relaxed, meditative mindset as opposed to an anxious one. So spirit knew exactly what you needed at that moment. So, you see, these are little messages to you that you're being very, very, very guided, okay? And, you know, that's why even when someone's going to get a reading, they have to come with an open heart and soul, and they have to allow me to get them in a zone. And, you know, I know I'm in a zone sometimes because, you know, I'm usually very noise conscious. But when I'm in a psychic zone, I could zone out any noise. I don't even hear it, you know. And, you know, so you really now saw the power of a reading. Okay, and what it does. And actually, when you were listening to it, whatever spirit guides talk to me when I'm doing your reading were with you while you were listening again. So that's, I'm so glad that we did put you on because this is teaching other people what actually occurs when you start getting deeper into a zone, you know. And it's very good. And also when people are experiencing a lot of anxiety, and sort of panic attacks as of late. You know, panic can only last about 15 minutes long. It's extremely exhausting. Okay, so if you could learn to ride through it, you'd be surprised how it becomes less and less. Because what happens part of panic attack is you get so scared because it's happening that it makes it worse. You know, and if you actually talked yourself down from the anxiety and, you know, I'm so happy that you're listening to spirit and you're hearing spirit now. And, you know, a lot of times we're not even aware of it. That's why when you bring this stuff up, I can let you know what's going on, how they are guiding you, how that is happening to you. And, you know, keep going and keep doing the things. The book that Erica was referring to is Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic. And it does have a lot of these things like, oh, I heard it's clairaudio. I heard something. Wow. And, you know, there's a few times when I've actually heard things like that, too. It's not my number one way of getting things, but there's been times when I've had that experience as well. And it's interesting. So, again, I think they were just letting you know they're hearing you.
Okay, that's good. Because, you know, the first thing people would do when they hear something is they would think that they're psycho. And literally I heard my name and I just woke up immediately and I was like, I know you're here. And I went right back to sleep.
You knew it was good.
It
was a good thing. And remember, spirit really wants people to go more into the psychic a little bit deeper and they'll test you. If you didn't get scared, like you were saying, message me, and they did. If you had gotten scared by the experience, they would have backed off. The fact that it didn't scare you lets them know, okay, we can give him some more psychic experiences.
Yeah, and now that you brought that up, sometimes when I do guided meditations and, you know, my eyes are closed and I'm fully in the zone, sometimes I don't think I get scared. Like, sometimes I feel a presence in my room, but I don't get scared. I get more of like my heart starts to race a little bit. Is that like a good thing or something I should be aware of?
Yeah, I probably shouldn't be racing, okay? Because normally, actually, when you're in a deeper zone, your sort of breathing slows down a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like you want to try to slow it down. And that's usually, you know, a very good thing. Although it can be counterproductive. Like if I read too many people, that's why I'm strict with psychic parties. It's 8 people, no more. And sometimes they get mad at me like I'm being a bitch. But if I go into the 9th reading and that's like 6 hours in a deep zone, my blood pressure begins to soar. And it begins to have really negative physical effects on me because it's too much. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if I just do the 8, I'm fine. Everything's down. My blood pressure is good. Everything's great. But there's a point where it can, if you push it too much, be hard on the circulatory system. So what I'm thinking is if you're starting to get your heart going like that, maybe step away a little bit because it's supposed to bring you to a slower heart rate while you're doing read, you know, in the psychic realm. Not push it up like that.
Because okay. I do get distracted sometimes, but like when I feel a presence, I think maybe that's why I get a little excited, and that just throws me off for my meditation.
And again, it's always very much more helpful to stay in a more calmer, deeper zone. But again, when it's so deep that I'm in for so long, it's not good either. Do you know what I mean? There's a point where there's a limit to how long you should be staying in such a, you know, a deep, deep, you know, session. So I'm just very adamantly, no matter what, because it's kind of scary. And also, one time I did like 11 readings in a row because I don't know, the people were not going to be very nice if I didn't. But when I left, I had what's called ocular migraines, and I don't know if anyone's ever had one, but it was like I was on LSD. Like things were moving in and out. I could not, it was frightening. So I said, oop, that's another thing. I know the limit of how much I could do it. So, you know, with you, maybe you got to test how much when it's good, when it's not, how much is too much, and you'll learn that. But thank you for sharing your psychic growth. And I love the way you sound excited because it is exciting when these things happen. You know, it's exciting when you hear, you know, things like that. And, you know, Spirit's just letting you know, Eric, we're going to teach you. You know, we're ready to teach you anything you want to know.
That's good because I've been ready, you know.
That's great. And remember, this is relatively new for you, right? The psychic whole world. So, you know, enjoy it and have fun with it. Well, we're going to try to get another caller tonight. Thank you so much, Eric, because I think a lot
of
our listeners probably profited from hearing what we were talking about a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, and have a great evening.
Thank you, you too.
Now, Nicole, did you hear any of that at all? Because
I've heard bits and pieces of it, Cindy.
Because you've been, you know, doing this psychic thing for a long time too, like in this world. And how is it for you?
Well, you know what? Like I'm always hot and cold. You know, like when I'm meditating and when I'm really, really like getting my mind and my body and everything centered, then I get a lot more. When I allow myself to be distracted, when I allow myself to be a little too practical, I get significantly less. You know, I'm not one of those people that's naturally gifted that way. I have to work on it. I have to hone in on it. But, you know, I mean, I'm just open to everything. I'm open to, like, any and all messages. I let things come to me in due time, and I always understand that, you know, when push comes to shove, that I'm going to learn what I'm supposed to learn at that time, whether I'm receptive to it or not, you know? So I kind of always leave that door open.
Right, exactly. And, you know, and remember,
and actually, Cindy, I actually have a little conundrum for you.
Yes.
Because as you know, and our listeners don't know, but Lisa and I, we had something occur. And, you know, we both have been, you know, working through, you know, feelings and, you know, a little bit of PTSD there and everything else. So I've been doing a lot more meditation, keeping my mind in a better place, as has Lisa. And it's been helping tremendously, you know. And the other day, and I don't know what the hell this means, and I'm hoping that you do. So,
okay.
So since you know that that and obviously if you can't talk about it on the show, just say that you'll call me later on and we'll catch up. But anyway,
okay.
So as everybody knows, I run crazy hours. So does my wife, to the extent that when we go to work Monday through Friday, we both have got like SUVs, and we have mattresses in the back of our cars so that we can arrive to locations and we could take naps in between all of our activities, you know, coming home. So when I say like we have a mattress, like literally it's like, you know, a travel camping mattress across the back. We've got pillows and blankets and everything that you could possibly want, you know, back there we have to make it comfortable so that we can get proper rest in between our crazy schedules. Well, the other morning, I was ready to take my morning nap before my shift started, and I have all of my windows covered to the car, except for the one, like, little portal window in the back, yeah, like, in the backpack. You know what I'm talking about, Cindy, that like, yeah, little, like, triangular window that's in the back of an SUV, you know, or in cars in some cases. So all of my windows are covered except for that one. And in my dream, I suddenly awakened to be sleeping in my car, even though I was still dreaming. And when I looked out that little portal window, I saw a man standing. He was dressed in maybe like 1940s clothes, 1950s, wow, someplace in there, like a long, like I could tell that it was like a longer pea coat. He was wearing a suit and tie. He was wearing a, yes, hat, like a fedora hat. He was holding a baby that was in like an A kind of jacket with a bonnet on. And I remember being freaked out at the fact that he was there, so freaked out that I woke up in real life with my back to that window. But when I turned over and I looked, I still saw his silhouette standing outside of that window right after I woke up. Like his shadow was still in the window right where he was, where I saw him fully in my dream.
Wow. I would say you were astral traveling, but you astral traveled back in time. Okay.
Get the fuck out.
And where were you? Where were you in Brooklyn? Where were you?
I don't remember. That's the trouble.
Okay, but where were you when you
remember.
Were having this dream?
I was in Brooklyn when I was having the dream, for sure.
Okay, that's what I'm saying, because I think you astral traveled back into like a period of someone who might have been walking in Brooklyn in that street in,
wow,
probably 1940s. That's an astral projection.
That's crazy.
Somewhere. And again, you know, it's kind of interesting that you did that, and you know, you didn't mean to travel there, but you did. And you know, again, that's astral travel. That wasn't a dream,
okay,
or anything. That was actually you traveling. And it's kind of interesting that it happened, but you just went to somehow, you know, traveling in the past. Because remember,
yeah,
when you astral
and
travel,
I just remember he smiled like in the dream when I woke up in the car and he was standing outside the window. He smiled at me, and it wasn't like a creepy sort of smile. Like, it was like,
right,
a warm smile. He like he smiled at me as if I was just passing him on the street.
Wow.
You know, like, you know, kind of like a good day type of thing or whatever. And I was like, and when I woke up, like I said, my back was to the window. But when I turned around, like his shadow was still there, like his whole silhouette, including the baby's bonnet, was still there. Just the outline of them.
Wow. And that, again, was you had this experience of what an astral travel feels like.
You know, imagine what I could do if I applied myself.
I know, but it's probably that was the man's neighborhood that he lived in or something like that, you know. But it's interesting, these experiences. And you know, we have a lot of these all the time, sometimes we don't pay much attention to it, or
mm-hmm,
we just don't understand what it is. But that's an interesting one, very interesting one. You know,
yeah, it was weird.
Wow, it's that's amazing. And you know, I would say you might have another one or two of those experiences. But also because you've been doing the meditation, guided meditation.
Yeah.
Guided meditations often help you astral travel, so that's what stimulated it, probably, you know.
Gotcha.
You just, because when we're meditating, we're often are traveling elsewhere. Our soul is going elsewhere, you know, things like that. I mean, even when I'm reading someone's Akashic records, which only come up as it pertains to something now, I'm astral,
mm-hmm,
traveling probably into wherever those records are stored. while I'm doing a reading.
Gotcha.
You know, I'm not here. It's interesting, though, to time travel. I think that's a really interesting, you know, experience to have.
No, it was nuts.
And again, you weren't scared because it wasn't
really?
It wasn't a scary experience.
No, it was, like I said, it was I was startled, but I wasn't afraid.
Right, and
you know, like,
again,
and I think what startled me was the fact that maybe I was startled because one minute I was where he was, and then the next minute I was kind of straddling because he was still there, but I was here. And then when I fully woke up, obviously, it was just like a little bit of a shock. But I think I was more startled than I was not afraid. Like, I didn't get fear from this man. I didn't think he was going to harm me in any way, shape, or form. Like, it was like, hey, how you doing type of thing.
Right, exactly. You know, and one time I had the experience years ago, and I was doing a children's party, and someone came up to me and said to me, oh, I saw you yesterday at such and such a place. And I was like, no, I wasn't there. And she said, you're Cindy, right? You're Cindy, right? I said, yeah. I had a whole conversation with you there. I was like, what? She was like, no, you were there. And, you know, she's telling me the conversation, and it certainly sounded what I might have talked to her about, but I swear I wasn't there. So that was in the beginning of me being psychic, and I thought I must have astral traveled, okay? And, you know, it was just a weird thing to know that I traveled somewhere, and this person had seen me and, you know, said things, and, you know, I thought the person couldn't be crazy because she's saying things that she knew about me, and, you know, and I knew about the event she was saying, and I said, well, I was going to go to the event, but I didn't go. She goes, yes, you did.
Oh, boy.
I was like, okay. So I obviously astral traveled because I did want to go to the event, but something else happened and I couldn't go. So I guess my astral body showed up, you know. But that was a freaky thing, and it was in the beginning of my psychic things, and, you know, and I was reading about astral projection and astral travel, like, the week before, so
mm-hmm.
I was like, that's odd. So just reading about these things or meditating or doing any of that will open a vortex to kind of letting us know, you know, that there is more to life than we, you know, can imagine, and you might have some more of that happening. You mean that might be you're one of these people with time travel.
Damn.
You know, and how
that'll
do you think
fun.
People came up with even writing, you know, movies where people time travel? I'm sure they must have had an experience.
Oh, yeah. I'm convinced that Jules Verne was a time traveler.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would say you're probably right on that. So these
For
are
sure.
things that, you know, he had that experience. So,
yep.
You know, it's interesting, and they make, you know, they make for life interesting. And this is also, as a writer, how sometimes people write things because, you know, they had that experience of astral projecting into a dream or something, and they come back with a thought. You know, American Indians used to believe every dream you're astral traveling, and you should bring back something to create from it. So, I mean, I think other cultures knew this. Sometimes we just think dreams are just dreams or whatever. We don't pay that much attention. But you can always tell an astral projection dream because that didn't disappear from you. A dream is very vapory. If it's just a dream, you know, you want to remember it, and 2 seconds later it's gone.
Yep,
but
it's
an
gone.
Astral projection, you don't forget.
Yep.
You know,
because, you know, I mean, like, sometimes I'm good at remembering and others not, but this has been vivid now for days. And I was like, I don't know who the hell that guy, like, it's been driving me nuts. Like, who the hell was that guy? Like, do I know him? Like,
you might have known him in a past life, but that's how you know it's an astral travel, because it feels like it really happened and it does not.
No, that's crazy.
That's
definitely surreal. I mean, that's one of the first times, I mean, probably, if it's not one of, it is the first time that something like that ever happened to me with such clarity. You know, like, I've had, like, little, like glimpses here and there, but, like, this was just so clear. Like, I just, like, it, like, I've never had it be that clear before.
Yep, and that's, now you understand astral projection. It's clear, you wake up, and it doesn't disappear. A dream disappears very quickly.
I mean, I'm sure that it's also helping that I'm reading a lot of Nietzsche and Kant right now, so.
Well, I'm saying you can't open up these vortexes and not, you know, expect them to be opened, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and this is how spirit tests us. And if we're not afraid, they'll give us more. If we get scared, they stop, okay?
Yep.
You know, and they're trying to also show, like, Eric, maybe he is going to be clairaudio. Maybe you're going to get your messages through time travel or, you know, astral travel. And, you know, we all have different gifts, but
yes.
it really is. And just the way you wanted to talk about it, you knew something mystical had happened or, you know, it's kind of a mystical experience.
Oh, completely.
Experience.
Yeah, completely. And like I said, it wasn't a scary thing. Like I said, I was startled. Because, like, the same way that you would be startled if you're in a fun house and something just jumps out at you. Not because you're afraid that you're going to die, you know, just because, you know, you're just, you know, something just jumped out at you. And it was just like that, you know. But like I said, it was just the clarity on it, like, everything that I remember about it. Like, normally those things diminish over time. But this has now been days, and I could tell you, you know, every piece of lint on his jacket. You know, like, that's how clear it is, and that's how clear it's staying. So I knew that it was something to ask about, because if it was just anything, I don't think I would have had that clarity for this long, at least.
No, it would have begun to get less clear. So even
yeah,
when you're dreaming
yeah.
about a dead person, you know, if it's just a dream, it's going to disappear. If it's an astral projection that your soul
yep.
has left your body, gone to that mutual plane to visit with them, you're going to wake up feeling you saw them.
Yep.
Okay, and that's how you can distinguish. A dream disappears very quickly, and astral
yep.
projection stays with us, and it stays very clear to us.
Wow.
So, and so, sometimes we, you know, a lot of times in our dreams we are traveling. We are going.
Yeah.
But if astral projection, you don't wake from it, and it might have happened
yep.
in the middle of the night, we may not remember it totally clearly. But if you
yep.
wake up from an astral projection, it's going to be very, 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 very clear. And, you know, and I'm so glad to hear, because spirit is actually trying to heal you from the trauma that you went through, okay? It's trying to get you to, you know, heal. And that's what you're... You know, you were just being given someone who loved you. This person smiled at you, gave a little sense of love to you, and
yeah.
it felt good. It felt healing. So always the universe is trying to heal us from trauma and things like that. And, you know, I'm so glad you shared that with us, because it seems to be, you know, a lot of people have these experiences. They know what they are. You know, how do we know what they are? They're different. They're unusual. You know, they don't feel like things that we've experienced before, you know, at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's so funny because, you know, I told you I wrote that play called The Menu about a friend of mine who had died, and he gave me a menu which gave me the choice of death, and I choose a method of death, and I said, I'm not ready for this, and I handed it back to him. And I woke up, it was clear as a bell that I traveled to him. And then I dreamed about him again, and I said, what the hell's with that? And then Debbie Tony emailed me that day, saying, oh, you know, we're doing the menu for fun, and we're going to, like, send you a copy of what we do. We did it. We're doing the menu. Like, so she, obviously, I heard what she was doing. So I guess then I put him into my dream again, you know, because Debbie, Tony, and I are very telepathic, but I thought that was really fun, kind of funny. I was like, why did I dream about him again, you know? But these are things that, you know, pay a little more attention. The year 2022, the years between 2022 and 2027 are supposed to be very strong psychic years if you want to open up the vortex at all. Like,
yeah.
you don't have to do much. It's going to be opened, you know, and very strong. So, you know, I think you're opening it through your meditation. Also, you had that little bit, that traumatic experience, because spirit wanted you to open more to spirit, and it has opened you more to spirit.
Yeah,
it's kind of getting you to, you know, how does the universe heal us? How do they actually do this? You know, so you are, you know, and it's the same thing with Eric. What made him open up to spirit was, you know, his heart being ripped out.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to tell people, don't wait till your heart's ripped out to open spirit. Why don't you just open it, okay? Because otherwise God has to rip open our heart to open it. Why don't we just open to spirit without trauma? Wouldn't that be a better way to do it? But unfortunately, humans seem to become more spiritual only through trauma for some odd reason.
Isn't that like the same thing that always happens with, like, you know, even like some sense of like art and things like that? Like if you look at like a lot of like poets, and if you look at a lot of, you know, authors and things like that, and you look at even a lot of artists, you know, it's not always the love that brings that transcendence. It's usually some form of trauma and heartache that gets them there.
Absolutely. And you know, that's the truth.
It's almost like the love is just the reward. So it says, okay, listen, we got this now. You know, like you have to go through, like, through that heartache first. And then it's like, okay, you can stop now. Here's something to love. And like, but yeah, it's like some of the best songs are not about love. They're about heartache. They're about loss, things like that.
Right, about loss. And again, you know, spirit would like us to learn to love, peace, and joy. But that doesn't seem to be the way humans learn. Okay, so I'm trying to tell people, maybe open your heart to learning to love, peace, and joy, and not, you know, waiting till they're suffering to do. And even with God, most people never talk to God or spirit unless they need something. They're in a position of needing something or something's gone wrong. You know, God likes you just to talk to him like, you know, when things are going right. Like, hey, dude, we're good here. Thanks. You know, hi.
You know what that reminds
not
me of?
Just waiting.
That reminds me of Karen.
Of what?
That reminds me of Karen. Remember, like a few weeks ago, maybe last month sometime, Karen had called in, and I said, you know, and she actually pressed the number one, which she normally doesn't do. And she said, you know what, I'm always calling in when there's something wrong. Everything is going well, so I figured I would talk anyway. You know, like that reminds me of Karen.
Right, exactly. And that's also, you know, with God, just tell him things are going good, okay, and I'm happy, and I don't really need anything, thank you, because that God loves that. If you just take that minute to say everything's going good, or if it's not going perfect, it's going pretty good, okay? It just seems like humans, by nature, tend to take a lot for granted, okay, like, and,
Part
of it is not taking things for granted, okay? Like, people take their health for granted until they're sick, okay? And, you know, don't take these things for granted, you know, and be in gratitude. And it really does help spirit, you know, give you more. But, you know, it's okay, you know, to, if everything's going great, just say thank you, you know, for everything going great. And, you know, also, whatever suffering we go through, grace is always there to heal us. God, the Spirit's always there trying to help us throughout. You know, you're never alone. They're always sending you what you need to heal or to help you. And they're giving you tools. They give you tools to help heal yourself. And, you know, you're growing from this experience. And, you know, again, God doesn't want us to suffer for no reason. You know, I always ask God, why this, why now? Okay? And what do you want me to learn from it? And when we learn the karmic lessons and we don't keep getting those experiences over and over again, and sometimes it's realizing that, you know, a lot's out of our control, you know, and that's the sad part about life. A lot of it is out of our control. And, you know, just know that spirit has our back a lot, but some things are just out of the control. And that's a hard one for most people. They want to be in control of everything.
Oh, especially for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's part of your lesson, darling. Okay. That.
You think a little bit?
You know, that's part of your lesson. You know, we're in control of nothing. Dot your I's, maintain your papers, be careful and cautious, and then let go and let God, okay?
Yep.
And the more we learn that, the better. And it's also a little lesson in self-forgiveness for people and forgiveness. You know, people, I just did a reading before this radio show, and a woman hasn't forgiven herself for something that happened more than 40 years ago. You got to forgive yourself, okay?
Oh, wow.
Because you can't go on punishing yourself for a mistake that happened, or it was actually an accident that happened so long ago. You know, that was beyond something that the universe has long forgiven her, and it was an accident, okay? And that's a lesson that we all have to learn, self-forgiveness. We forgive everybody. We're not so good at forgiving ourselves for things. You know, we all want to be perfect, don't we?
Oh, yeah, that's very true. And you know what? And that's what spoils things, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like that constant drive of perfection is really like what ruins a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And remember, you know, Leonardo da Vinci said you do something 90% good, because if you're waiting for 100%, you're going to do one thing in your whole life.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
for
because
sure.
You can't. It's just impossible to do everything perfect. You know, it's impossible. And, you know, the more we obsess sometimes, the worse it gets, you know?
Oh, completely.
Well,
that is something that I identify with very much.
Oh, it's like that, you know, that Frasier when, you know, what was his name? Frasier's brother. You know, Niles, and he was having a date, and he was perfect. And then he saw one little tiny, like, tiny thing on his pants, and he decided to iron them in, to burn in it, and he spills something and everything. And then everything's a wreck. But he was perfect,
yep.
Near perfect, except for a tiny little something on his pants. And by the time the woman came, everything was in disorder.
Completely.
Everything was
and it
wreck.
All started with the one little trigger.
Right. You know, it just started with one little trigger. You know, and that is something that sometimes we have to learn to just, you know, not have everything perfect. And
yep.
that's not easy, you know. And that's also what makes holidays hard for people, because they're trying to have everything perfect. And
oh
it just
God.
Stresses them
Does
out so much. You know what I mean?
Does
like to have the food perfect and the house perfect and everything perfect, you know. And, you know, especially if you're an old soul, old souls are very hard on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want everything to be perfect, and it is not going to be.
I find that when I was younger, I wanted that perfection, and now that I'm getting older, I just don't give a shit.
Right, that's the truth. That's what you do the best.
I don't give a shit. I just want good food, good company. If you're not going to be good company, don't come. Like, I don't care. I no longer care who I see. I no longer care who comes. You know, that used to be a very, very important thing for me. But, you know, now, like I said, as I'm getting older, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, listen, if you're not going to be a contributor, you're just going to take away from everybody else's experience. So go away. You know, like, I don't care if you come anymore. So, yeah, that drive for perfection definitely, you know, it definitely had its place when I was younger. And as I'm getting older, luckily I'm growing out of that.
Right, exactly. You know,
as I think everyone should.
Exactly. Now we're going to put Jimmy through because I said, you know,
yes,
just
poor Jimmy's been waiting all this time,
and we couldn't put him through unless there was no other callers. Remember, but there's no other callers that want to talk, so we're safe to put him on, even though he's been put on.
Take care, Mr. Jimmy. It's all good.
So let
people just enjoy hearing you. People just enjoy hearing you and I talk tonight.
Well, I think it was a little bit because I wanted a little bit of the spiritual messages, because some reason, you know, it seems to be important. If this is the year where spirit should open up, let's figure out how we can do it. You know,
how we can contribute positively, people. There's so much freaking negativity out there. Unless we start overhauling the positivity, it's just going to get worse. So.
Absolutely.
Definitely have to pay attention to those messages out there. But I have queued him up, Cindy, and we're going to go out to Jimmy and see what's going on in his world. Hello, Jimmy. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hello, Jimmy. So what's happening?
A lot of good things. And
okay.
I
we like
that.
Better
than good. A lot of great things. But it's really interesting because a lot of great things happened yesterday, and then today I find out my car needs, like, thousands and thousands of dollars of repairs.
Well, you said that the other day.
So, Yeah, I was kind of concerned.
I mean, is
it
cheaper to buy a new one at this point or a newer car than this one?
No, that's not something that I'm even – that's not the road I'm going down with this.
Okay.
The car is – the vehicle is way too reliable to just be like, okay, yeah, all right, it's going to either cost this or I could just buy a new one. The vehicle is going to last, like, probably almost another 200,000 miles. It's so reliable. It's not going to. There's going to be stuff that needs to be fixed on it. It's
okay, so then there's not a problem that it's going to cost money to fix it. It's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
my father-in-law used to say it's nothing a new car can't fix. You know, which used to make me laugh. But no, if that's the case, then you put your money into it if it's still, you know, a good car, and then, you know, life is like that. Life is 90% maintenance, by the way. That's life. We have to maintain things, and we got to get used to it.
You're kidding with that one. This is like
90% maintenance.
It just hit me on the left, and I'm like, what?
Right. I mean, whether we're maintaining our body, our things, our homes, whatever, it's 90% maintenance.
I was thinking it was one thing, and it turned out it was three things. And they're all major things that are like, okay, this is leaking, and this is leaking. And I'm like, you got to be kidding.
Okie dokie. So we got to plug those leaks up. Okay.
Yes, we do.
But it looks like once you take care of this, it actually looks like it'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm pretty sure it's just maintenance. On the romantic front, things are looking good. So that's a very good thing.
Yep. That's good. That's what we like to hear. And and remember, I was telling you to observe some things on the earth plane, see some things that you could see. I'm always telling people, don't ask psychics questions if there's something you can find out on the earth plane yourself. And it helps.
I wasn't going to ask you if I should fix my car.
Nope. I mean, again, I was asking you. If it's a good car, then you got to put the money into it. I mean, some cars are not worth putting the money into, but if this one is, you know, these are things, sometimes with life, we just got to suck it up and do it, okay? What can I tell you?
Yeah.
That's why we work, by the way. We work so we can pay for these things, okay? If we're not working, it's a disaster. You almost want to bless God that you're working and you can afford to fix this. I mean, that's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible if you weren't working.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It would be a lot worse if I wasn't working.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, I just see it looks like, you know, you'll probably, you know, hopefully you'll hear something on the love line soon.
Okay.
You know, and you know, your spirits sound good, you know, and, you know, I hope you were listening a little bit to how we can open up the psychic, you know, vortex a little more this year for everybody. I know Jimmy's very psychic, so it's not hard for him to do it.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot more. I had remembered when you there was some a reading I went for you, not the recent one, but one prior, that I was running a little late, and I astral projected to you while I was driving and was telling you I'm here, but I'm not here, but I'm running late or something. I thought that was funny.
I know. I was like, oh my God, he's astral projected his message to me. You know, or like he's running late. I remember that. So it's interesting how, you know, we also can work on our telepathy with each other, you know, giving telepathic messages to each other back and forth. That's something that's going to open up a little more, you know, than ever before, the telepathy. Because telepathy is the language how we commune from the other side. So I think God wants more people to open that up already. So it shouldn't be hard for people
to do that. Noticing that, and I was listening to what you were saying with Eric. What did you say? Something about audio?
Clear audio,
Yeah. So I'm picking up certain things like that a lot more. I mean, I know my spirit guides are like, my grandma's probably in the room right now. I was about to watch Wheel of Fortune, so she was definitely in the room. but that's picking up a little bit. The astral projection really started picking up after you had mentioned that that happened. It took a couple
right.
weeks, but it started picking up that I'm able to, like, I didn't even try to do that. It just happened. But since that happened, I kind of like tried to like control it a little bit more, and I'm pretty good at it apparently. So.
Okay, well, that's very good. Well, we're at the 8 o'clock. They're going to knock us off. I want to make sure we say goodbye before they knock us off. Okay, well, thank everyone for sharing. I hope you learned something about the psychic world, and maybe call in next week if any of you had any experiences that the universe is trying to prove what we were talking about tonight. So everyone, have a great week. Let's all give a big happy birthday to Nicole. Happy birthday, Nicole. We love you.
And thank you very much, everybody. I love you guys, too. And Cindy, you know you're my girl. I love you to pieces.
Yep, and we'll all speak next week. Good night, everybody. Bye.